Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, August 21st, and more with George Blaha today. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Today we're going to be talking about an interesting article from the great Jackie McCallum of ESPN.com on mental health. Plus, we'll have more with George Blaha, part two of our two-part interview with the Detroit Pistons legendary announcer, and I'll also be talking about some of his revelations as well. But go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. But as we talked about yesterday, do you have a man cave that needs sprucing up, or do you want to go out and play a round of golf but don't have 5 hours to play 18? Or are you looking for more gear to represent the city of Detroit? I know that many of you listening can say yes to at least one of these questions, probably all three. Jim and Ann at Detroit Sports Collectibles have you covered on all these fronts. They have everything for your man cave, the Pistons posters. Remember that poster of Laimbeer and Mahorn dressed in black with the dark shades and the rim torn down and the balls deflated? They've got that, if I don't get to it first. They've got NASCAR stuff. They've got baseball, basketball, old Free Press posters from Detroit championships, football figurines of your favorite players, all sorts of hats, beer hats, stuff for your man cave. You got to see this place with your own eyes. Jim and Ann are there on weekends, Friday from 10 to 3, and Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5 p.m. But make an appointment and they'll meet you anytime after 5 p.m. throughout the week, Monday through Thursday. They will be there for you. Any even better, tell them you heard about their store on Locked On Pistons and they will give you 10% off. They are at 661 South Main Street in Clawson. Plus, you can order items at DetroitCollectibles.net. Check out their website. I promise you'll find something you didn't know that you need. Support Jim and Ann at Detroit Sports Collectibles. Support Michigan small businesses. And in turn, support the Locked On Pistons podcast. Check out Detroit Sports Collectibles at 661 South Main Street in Clawson and at DetroitCollectibles.net. If you want to set up an appointment with them, you can call them at 844-238-6277. Again, that's 844-238-6277. Tell them Matt from Locked On Pistons sent them as well. We're still looking for entries into the all-time all-Pistons team voting. I need two forwards and two guards and a center for your first team, your second team, and your third team, made up of all-time Pistons from way back in the day to the current day as well. Three teams in each of the votes, up to three teams. Who would you put as the starting five of all-time Pistons players? Use your own criteria. Let me know what you think. You can get it to me on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. Email me at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H at yahoo.com. Send me a message on Twitter, at me on Twitter as well, or do it to the Locked On Pistons page, however you prefer to reach me, and I know that you can. So we'll talk about the results later this week. But a must read on ESPN.com throughout the week by Jackie McCallum, the former Boston Globe writer, featuring part one, which was NBA players with depression, and it goes on. And the big one Monday featured Kevin Love and Bruce and Paul Pierce, and it moved on to today, Tuesday's article, with more about Bruce Bowen, and a lot of it focuses on being a black player in the NBA, with much of the second story from today featuring the Morris twins, Markeef and Marcus, the latter a former Pistons starter. A lot of it talks about how Marcus was struggling until he was traded to the Phoenix Suns and became, you know, reunited with his brother Markeef there, and they had a career that kind of flourished for a couple of years until Marcus was traded to Detroit. And a nice savvy move by Stan Van Gundy at that time, where he was able to eat the contract for Marcus Morris and only give up a second round pick. One of the nicer deals that he made throughout his tenure with the Pistons, as the Suns were trying to dump that contract. But it shows that Marcus played well and was a Piston that fans really appreciated the way he played and his fearlessness on the court. However, in the article, he talks about the depression that he was facing off the court and kind of isolated himself away from teammates a little bit, despite the fact that the article pointed out the Pistons did try to bring him into the fold a little bit more. But you could tell that, you know, that Marcus Morris maybe wasn't as tight with all the other guys. And you see that since he's left, although the Pistons haven't had the win and loss success that a lot of us fans have hoped for. They appear to be a very together team. They seem to have a lot of great team chemistry. You see, Blake Griffin posting something on Instagram on Monday. Stanley Johnson's out there commenting on it, as well as Reggie Bullock and all these guys. They seem to be a very connected team. And like I said, Marcus Morris maybe isolated himself from the team a little bit more. Since he was traded to Boston last summer, as the article details, the Boston organization did a lot in terms of mental health, directing him towards some help, which ended up coming in the form of Stephanie Pinder Amaker, wife of former Michigan basketball coach Tommy Amaker, who worked at Harvard nearby and has been basically a personal therapist for Marcus Morris since then, allowing him to kind of reconnect with the front office and the coaching staff and his teammates. And it sounds like things are going a lot better personally for Marcus in his new situation in Boston. So great to hear on that, but maybe some lessons for the Detroit Pistons organization there. And we don't know exactly what they did or what they didn't do or what they have done right now, but maybe that's a discussion that we'll have going forward, is what are the Pistons in particular doing for the mental health of some of these players. But like I said, nice to see that the Pistons have that, the bond that they have in terms of friendship that it seems that the players have, but obviously we don't know what's going on in the personal lives or in the minds of a lot of these players. It's a mental health issue is a huge issue in our country, obviously, as we've seen and as we know from what we've observed over these last few years in our society. But in the NBA, the article dictates that it's even more of a problem. Numbers like 40% of players might be dealing with some mental health issue, whereas only 5% of them are actually seeking help to deal with that. So a discussion that we'll have and something to keep an eye on going forward. We'll try to track down someone from the organization who can maybe detail. And these are tough things to talk about because you have a confidentiality of the patients and things that don't necessarily want to be shared with the general public. So it's hard to get in specific conversations. So you kind of have to keep it general a lot of ways if you're speaking for a big organization like the Pistons. It said in the article that Jackie McCallum wrote that the NBA teams, in a lot of cases, owners are trying to seek the medical records of some of the players. And obviously, that's a bad idea. The players have the personal freedom and liberty to not have to have that information shared with their employers. So any kind of situation where it turns towards that way, that the NBA teams are getting any kind of access to some of those medical records, would be a negative thing. That here on Locked On Pistons, we're definitely not supportive of that. But that's one of the phases of help that maybe NBA teams are trying to do. Obviously, they want to have that propriety information for them so they can make decisions about their roster and personnel moves. But, you know, if you're looking at it positively, maybe they are trying to step in and help a little bit more than they are right now, but that's certainly not the way that things should be gone about. They should be offering help, but at the end of the day, it's up to the guys to take the help if they think they need it. It's a complicated situation and not just something that's dealt with in NBA locker rooms, but in all forms of life. And it's something that, by the way, we should have a great appreciation and greater awareness of, and appreciation for guys like Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan, who have been stepping up lately and talking about those issues as guys who are very, very much in the public eye and very much have superstar status in the NBA. So when they talk about those things, not only does that help the lesser NBA players to accept the fact that it's okay if that's part of your life, but it also trickles down to the rest of society, where young guys, especially given that the NBA is followed by a majority of African Americans, that Tuesday's article focused on, that this was maybe a much more profound and bigger problem with people from inner cities, that they can see that it's okay, first of all, and that it's okay to seek help as well. So great from guys like Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, even Paul Pierce in the article, Bruce Bowen, the Markieff and Marcus Morris brothers for speaking out as well. So kudos to all those guys, and I hope things have continued to go in the right direction for all of them, and that there's others out there who see that story and can get some more of the help of their own. But some lighter topics, going to talk to George Blaha here in a minute, the voice of the Pistons, for part two of our two-part interview with the legendary broadcaster. And you've heard me talk about advertising, and guess what? Be like Jim and Ann of Detroit Sports Collectibles and join us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast team. We reach men between the ages of 18 to 44, and if you want to reach that group, get a hold of me. 98% of our listeners are men, and 80% of those between that age group of 18 to 44. All sorts of daily dedicated listeners, Detroit sports fans, like yourself. If you're interested in reaching that group, email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Talking to George Blaha here, longtime voice of the Pistons. Grant Hill going into the Hall of Fame this coming season. You called, obviously, all the Grant Hill years here in Detroit. Do you feel like that maybe he doesn't quite get his due in this town? And where do you kind of stand on the legacy of Grant Hill in Detroit and how to put those years that he was here into the overall context of this organization?
I think he came here at a difficult time. There was never going to be another Isaiah Thomas. He just fit in Detroit so perfectly. And he was so tough and so smart and so successful winning championships. But Isaiah had some great teammates. He had, obviously, a much better cast around him than Grant did, although there were some very good players who played with Grant. So, at number one, that made it difficult for Grant. And he was a different kind of guy. He was certainly a guy who came from a very, very nice family, didn't come up the hard way like Isaiah did. Isaiah came from a great family, but believe me, they came up the hard way if they were Thomases on the west side of Chicago. So that's a difference between the two that Detroiters recognized right away. And, you know, had the Pistons been able to win a championship with Grant Hill in uniform, I think he'd be thought of in even more glowing terms. But don't take anything away from this guy. He was a heck of a basketball player. I thought when he was at the top of his game with the Pistons, he might have been the best all-around player in the league. What he did along with get up in the air and throw it down from above the rim and make intelligent plays and guard people, he also was a heck of a rebounder and an excellent passer. So he understood the game backwards and forwards and helped you win in every way he could. And a great gentleman. To know Grant Hill is to really like him.
Now, George, kind of moving on to the going to work era here. Everyone talks about the best champions over the last few decades. It's one of those discussions had over the internet Sure. over the years. Myself and the listeners were biased when it comes to the 04 group, especially. But where do you kind of put that team in the pantheon of the dynasties, the mini dynasties of the league during that time? What's their legacy now as we're coming up on 15 years soon since that title?
Well, the going to work group. First of all, let's just talk about those guys in terms of Detroit. You know, the Bad Boys may have been the most popular sports team ever in the state of Michigan, and certainly in the last 50 years, they'd be at the top or near the top. So most people who followed the Pistons thought, well, we'll never see another group like that again. Well, and then all of a sudden, in came Ben Wallace and Rasheed and Chauncey and Rip and Tayshaun. And Coach Larry Brown instead of Coach Chuck Daly. And you had a group that, believe it or not, put together in a different way. They didn't go out and bring in a lot of high-priced free agents. Put together in the way Joe Dumars felt was the right way to do it, became a real team. Those guys fit together like a hand and glove. And they didn't... They didn't give many games away, if any, and they gave themselves a better chance to win than almost any team they played. They probably were better as a team than the sum of their parts. As good as those players were, they were better as a group. And they had the kind of toughness that you don't see as much anymore. The Bad Boys were tough, but these guys were tough as well.
Yeah, I caught some YouTube clips of a first-round series from the 04 playoff run with the Milwaukee Bucks with you on the call on UPN and just an unbelievable amount of charges taken by Ben Wallace. Dunks on the other end. I just happened to be watching that last night, an unbelievable performance of defense back in those days.
Yeah, Ben Wallace and all those guys have a special place in the hearts of Detroiters and those people from the state of Michigan who are NBA fans, but Ben has to be one of the best to ever play in a Piston uniform. And it was good that his number was retired and that Chauncey's was retired and that Rip's was retired. I'm waiting for Rasheed. And then maybe we could put 22 up for both Dave DeBuscher and Tayshaun Prince and take care of all those guys.
Yeah, that sounds like a nice couple of nights of remembrance and celebration as well for me. And obviously, George, some lean years over the past 10 since that going to work era. What is it about this team going forward as we prepare for the season with Coach Dwayne Casey coming in and this group that kind of gives you the most hope that the flicker of light is about to come on and better days are ahead for Pistons fans?
Well, first of all, I've always been a fan of Coach Casey. And I believe that he probably doesn't get enough credit, even though he was named Coach of the Year, for what he did in Toronto over the last few years. I think these guys will play hard, tough, and smart for him. And I thought that Stan Van Gundy did a rock solid job, but sooner or later, maybe players' attention spans only last a few years under a certain coach. Chuck Daly even said that. After a while, they need to hear another voice. So hopefully Dwayne Casey's voice will be one that sparks these guys. I like the fact that they have one of the best big men in the league in Andre Drummond, one of the best overall players in the league in Blake Griffin, and a point guard in Reggie Jackson, who probably still hasn't shown you everything that he can do. And if he stays healthy and understands his role under Dwayne Casey, I think you'll have fun. If nothing else, you're going to enjoy watching the Pistons this year, and they'll win their share.
And last question here for George. Blaha has been generous with his time with us here on Locked On Pistons. What about your future for your career? They've been going at it now 42 seasons in the books for the Pistons. Are you kind of looking at it year by year, or do you have a date in the future in mind that you might hang it up on the sidelines? Or are you maybe adjusting the schedule like we've seen some broadcasters do for less road trips going forward in the future?
Sure.
Do you have a plan for that?
Well, first of all, there'll never be another Vin Scully, but Vin adjusted his schedule with the Dodgers so he could, take his career up to around the 90 years of age. You got to keep your wits about you, though, and very few guys would be able to do that almost forever as Vin did. He might be the best all-around broadcaster of my lifetime, but the Pistons have said that they'd be happy to adjust my schedule in the future, so we'll see. I haven't really made a decision as to when I'd like to call my last game, but I want to make sure that I'm still able to do a quality job. I don't want to be hanging on and not be able to do the job the way I have been able to do it over the years. So we'll see. I'm not going to try to set any records, though. I promise you that.
Well, George, coming from a guy who's been watching your whole career, or much of your career, I should say, no slippage and still doing an outstanding job night after night with the Detroit Pistons. And we appreciate all the memories over the years. The Baseball Hall of Fame does a great job. They got the Ford Frick Award where they put the announcers in there one every year. And if there was something similar to that in Springfield, Massachusetts, you would certainly be there by then. And want to say thanks for all your hard work and all the memories you've provided from Pistons fans throughout your career.
Well, it's been a joy. And, let me just say this. I appreciate your kind words, Matt, number one, and the fact that you're able to give the fans a good listen periodically during the season to people who make things happen for the Pistons. But the coaches, the players, and especially the fans have made it a delight for me to broadcast NBA games. And if it weren't for the fans, I'd have been on the sidelines long ago, so I really appreciate their support.
Well, George Blaha, the voice of the Pistons, enjoy the what's left of the summer, and we'll see you and be listening for you very soon with Michigan State football and Pistons basketball, and thanks again for taking the time today.
You take care, Matt. I'm more than happy to do it. Let's do it again soon.
Well, there you have it. George Blaha was excited to share that interview with you guys. And George talked about, you know, the end of his career. He's 73 years old, 42 seasons in the book with the Detroit Pistons. But as I mentioned during the interview, no slippage from George so far. I talk about that and I mean it. We don't see any slippage from our play-by-play guy on TV broadcasts. He's not calling out the wrong guy or behind the play or anything like that. Razor sharp, and we hope he stays in that seat for a long, long time in the future. And even if he has to back away from some of the road trips every now and then, give guys like Matt Shepard and Mark Champion the number one seat every now and then with some of those TV broadcasts alongside Special K, Greg Kelser. That would be just fine with us as long as George can stay in our life for as long as possible as the Pistons try to get back to some of those better days. But a team that has not looked like they've had better days, the Detroit Lions, looking bad in the preseason so far. Matt Derry has everything you need to know on the Lockdown Lions podcast. You know Matt Derry from Detroit Radio. He now has the Daily Look at the Detroit Lions. Check it out on the network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. New college podcasts coming soon as well here on the Locked On Pistons Network. And as I mentioned, Detroit Sports Collectibles, the store in Clawson, hats, made in Detroit shirts, the golf and all sports simulator, football figurines, music posters, the Lambeer and Mahorn poster from the Bad Boys days, dressed in black with the deflated balls, all the beer hats, everything you need for your man cave. Just great stuff that you didn't know you needed, but you definitely do. Check them out at DetroitCollectibles.net, also their store, Detroit Sports Collectibles, on Main Street in Clawson, 661 South Main Street, just south of 14 Mile. But thanks again, huge thanks to George Blaha for taking the time to join us here on the Locked On Pistons Network. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Reach out to me on Twitter, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore up after that. Also the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Let me know what you think about the interview. If we get George on again one more time, what other things we should ask him? And also, do me a favor and share the interview with friends of yours. There's a lot of chances to talk to other Pistons fans out there that you have throughout your social life, your social media life as well. And the George Blaha interview would be a nice window into the daily podcast for some fans. So if you're looking for an episode to recommend, check out Mondays and then today, Tuesdays, part one and part two with the George Blaha interview here on Locked On Pistons. But this is your host, Matt Shook. Thanks for joining, everyone. Thanks for all your support. And we'll talk to you again soon.